As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning. A beautiful day out there. The weather finally deciding after the weekend that was, hey, maybe we should actually act like it's June. And hey, you know what? Good for everyone. It's all just shorts weather. You don't have to
be 80.
Yeah, you don't have to ask questions of like, is this actually June? No, not this time. We don't need to do that at all. Mm. This is perfect now.
Gonna be 80 today. I saw 86 tomorrow. I'm dog sitting this week.
There you go.
And the person I'm dog sitting for, it's my cousin, has a pool. We were discussing over the weekend, oh, it might just not be warm enough like for you to use the pool, which
nope,
is a shame.
Not anymore.
Nope. Wednesday shows up. Oh, baby.
There you go.
There we go.
This is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, we're here with you on another beautiful day, but more importantly, it is another day of Bills OTAs. The last time that we had OTAs, we had a decent couple things to talk about there, you know, with James Cook not being present, Joey Bosa dealing with a calf injury. What kind of madness do we get this time around? I say madness very loosely. It's OTAs. Everything's fine.
Yeah, there won't be too much news. I'm interested to see if Josh Allen is on his honeymoon or not, or if he's like waiting for the end of mandatory minicamp, because I think then there's like a 5-week break.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's the storylines we have in June, is Josh Allen's wedding.
Is Josh Allen taking snaps today, days after his wedding?
But on more for today, we go to the Wester Hotline. Right off the top, Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, good morning. It is beautiful outside.
About darn time, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's about darn time. It's nice. It's beautiful. It's sunny. A little bit of a breeze, but man, I think we got through it. Let's see. But another day, another round of OTAs this week. The Bills actually had OTAs yesterday, but no media present. So I couldn't tell you if Josh Allen took snaps yesterday. But we'll find out today because the media will be out there today, and then they'll have off tomorrow from being on the field. And then one more OTA after today this week. That's on Thursday. And then they're here next week for mandatory minicamp. But still voluntary this week and today. So, yeah, we will be monitoring, and Josh and some other players that attended his wedding if they're here today.
And then also today we are expected to hear from the coordinators, defense coordinator Bobby Babich at 10:30, and then offense coordinator Joe Brady at 11. Sal, I will tell you, this is also a personal thing of mine. I am excited to hear Brady speak. I want to know how many questions he's asked about Elijah Moore. He's a player I've absolutely fallen in love with, even back in his Ole Miss days. I'm excited to see what he can do for the Bills. I'm trying to keep my expectations tempered. I am having a difficult time, though.
Yeah, and listen, I think last week he had a really good day, I thought. You know, I wrote about him, talked to him, and he had some interesting things to say. I thought he had a good day on the field. I mean, if you're expecting lots of stuff from Joe Brady on Elijah Moore, I'd temper that a little bit because we know how this goes, right? Which is he'll be asked and he'll say some nice things and not make it too big of a deal and, you know, just say, hey, everybody's working hard and, you know, they're excited to have him or something like that. So I wouldn't probably expect a lot from him on Moore specifically. He might get a bunch of questions. We'll see. You know, Joe Brady's now, this is his second full season, 2.5 years, if you go back, or short of that, you know, a couple of years ago when he took over. So we know him pretty well, what his philosophies are. So not a lot new coming from him probably today. Bobby Babich, the same thing in his second year, but, you know, a lot maybe you can, I think, you know, ask him questions about last year and how it went and, you know, what he learned from last year and really some new pieces now and how they're going to navigate without Hoyt Ogunjobi for 6 weeks. Those are things that we'll talk more about in training camp, but this is the first time we've gotten to speak to the coordinators. And notably, we will speak with special teams coordinator Chris Tabor today after practice.
All right, so all the coordinators are going to be speaking today. Sal, on OTAs, we spoke last Tuesday. That was also the only media day last week. But there were some new wrinkles to OTAs starting last week. Is there anything for this week that is a little bit different? I know, you know, 7-on-7s, 11-on-11s, obviously no pads or anything like that. That's not till a few weeks into training camp. But anything different for today for you guys to watch for?
No, nothing like that. We just don't know, obviously, what drills or schedule to have. Like, we could go out there today and maybe, you know, last week they did a lot of what I would call, I wouldn't say goal line. It wasn't goal line. It wasn't necessarily red zone. It was in the red zone. It was a goal to go situation. How about that? They did a lot of that last week on the day that we were out there. So they put the ball at the 7 yard line and said, okay, first down to go and goal to go from the 7 yard line. They went from there. Who knows what situation they'll be in today? They did 11 on 11 full field as well. So there's no new rules from last week. You can still do the same thing. This is phase three of OTAs. Same thing with next week, guys, by the way. The only difference between this week and next week is next week's mandatory. That's the only difference. Everything else is the same. They're allowed to do all regular football stuff, basically.
And correct me if I'm wrong, next week's mandatory minicamp is Tuesday through Thursday, I believe?
Yep, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, okay. June 10, 11, and 12. That will be mandatory minicamp. Obviously, the storyline then will be as James Cook here. Mm-hmm. We'll monitor that. That's not for a week from today. And then once they're done next Thursday, they're done until training camp.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the thing, Sal. Like, we're doing a lot now, and then it's, what, 5-6 weeks of really nothing going on across the NFL. It's not really just for the Bills. It's this hurry up, and then you have your summer.
Oh, yeah, listen. I mean, it's the time, what we call the dead period in the NFL, right? I mean, it's kind of a double-edged sword for a lot of teams, which is, you have the dead period, guys. You know, you have 6 weeks basically off for the players, the coaches, the front office. But honestly, like in that 6 weeks, you're always thinking, oh, hey, hopefully everybody does everything they're supposed to do on and off the field, no injuries, things like that, right? I mean, that's when something all of a sudden you get a report, you know, happens to some guy, you know, he's working out, something happened, or he got himself in a bad situation, things like that. So obviously, there's things that happen in those 6 weeks. But the main thing is a lot of these guys, that's when they take their time to go away, refresh their bodies a little bit. Everybody's a little bit different, and then they come back ready to go in July, training camp.
All right. Sal, we'll let you go get your seat. We want you sitting in the front row, and we'll be waiting
for you. I don't do that. I'm literally in the back.
Are you in the back?
There's a reason for that, though. The reason for that is, so what we have in the industry is called a mult box. It's a multi-box for the audio, for people who don't know. So it's where the TV cameras and the radio microphones, they plug in to this box, and that disperses to whatever your camera is or your microphone you're using. I can record right on my iPhone. Mm-hmm. I plug it in there. So when somebody's at the podium, they talk into a mic, it goes there, and then you can plug into all these things. Well, that mult box sits in the back of the media room.
Oh.
So because I record from there onto my phone, I have a cord that's only yay long, and you don't want to have a cord going all the way to the top. I'm back there with basically all the cameras that are sitting in the back of the media room. And I don't mind. I'm like, there's like four rows. I'm back there, but we have one row. It's me. My buddy Josh Reed is next to me on my right. My other buddy Andy Young is next to me on my left. There's no assigned seats, but kind of like after so many years, you sit in the same spot all the time. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, that's probably the way to do it. I was prepared to make a joke about what kind of student you were, but now there's actual practical reason for being in the back. So Credit to you.
I was not the smartest student, but I was a damn resourceful student, and that's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm. That's how you do it. All right, Sal. Well, let's go get set up.
I knew who to copy from. That's how resourceful I was.
I was betting on Sal's a dog in the classroom.
Yep.
He's grinding.
I will tell you, this is a true story. I'll give you a minute here. True story. Like, so I graduated from Cleveland Hill High School, right? Love my alma mater, as you did, right?
Class 2016.
Cleveland Hill graduates, right? So, anyway, when I was in high school, the class valedictorian is still my best friend in the world. Like, we've known each other since I graduated, you know, since second grade. We know each other for basically close to 50 years. His name is Chris. He went to Notre Dame Law School. He's an attorney. And then our other best friend, he was the salutatorian in the top guy and the second guy are people with, you know, the grades as far as grades. And he went on to be a marine biologist, worked at Harvard. These are still very, very close friends of mine. So I always joke, but I was the smartest one because I surrounded myself with the smartest.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Bang. Surround yourself with excellence. You will follow. Absolutely.
Exactly right.
All right, Sal. Well, let's go get set up, and we'll be hearing from Bills defense coordinator Bobby Babich probably in the next 20 minutes or so.
You got it, man. Thanks.
That was Sal Baccio there on the West Her Hotline. Yes, also fellow Cleveland graduate. I sat in the back of the class, which was interesting because in middle school, finding out I needed to have glasses was a struggle for about 3 months.
You found out,
when
though.
You're sitting there and you're like, I can't see that.
What
at
did
all.
You, what did you just write down, Teach? I can't see it.
Any of that. I will tell you, though, getting my glasses, I don't know if this is true for any, I mean, you have glasses as well, Derek. There are a few of us that work here do, too. I do not have
We're
contacts.
We're all nerds.
I do not have contacts, I will say. I have a deep fear of anything near my eyes.
You know, this is a funny one because you mention it now here because, you know, we're talking about parts of high school and now both of us not being able to see without glasses
Love
or something.
It.
I got contacts out of a necessity.
Did you?
I was playing, like, I played football in high school, and I caught a screen pass in practice, got drilled, had my glasses on.
Oh.
One of the lenses popped out, and you cannot find it in the grass.
Mm-hmm.
So I got decked, lost one of my lenses, and went, guess Derek's getting contacts.
That's a really rough 30 seconds there.
I mean, yes.
You're getting popped, and then your glasses broke. That's a tough 30 seconds.
And then
seconds.
We couldn't find it.
Yeah. Oh, like, yeah.
So, the lawnmower might have eventually gotten it, and we stepped on shards of glass the next year. I don't know.
But you couldn't find it then.
Yeah, no, but junior year, nope, I learned. I'm getting contacts, baby.
I will say, though, so the reason—
Sophomore year, I actually tried to play blind. I missed a play call because of it.
Did you?
Because I was the guy calling the plays, too, which made it even better.
Coach, come on. Don't give it to the blind kid.
No, that's the blind kid knew the playbook. That's the problem.
Oh, man.
The blind kid knew the playbook, but then the signals that you're sending me, I missed the blitz.
Yeah, well, that's going to happen.
Yep, and then, so I got, you know, I got chewed into for it. Why didn't we call the blitz? I didn't see it.
Yeah, I did not see it.
I'm blind.
And I was looking at you. This is not like I missed a sign. I was looking right at you.
I was looking at you. I didn't see it. That's my fault, and it's also kind of your fault.
For me, I just, so for like 3-4 months, I mean, I was just, I lived blindly. Like, I could not see anything.
Blind Derek in high school, football was a venture.
Yep. I could see everything close to me. I couldn't see anything far away. And so, at the time, in my house, our TV, our couch was all the way in the back. And then on the other side of the room was the TV. I'm sitting there watching SportsCenter, just squinting at the TV. No one in my family is saying anything. They're all waiting for me to, like, have the courage to say something of, like, hey, I need glasses. For, like, 3 months, I was petrified. I'm like, I'm going to have to get glasses. My dad has glasses. You know, my entire, like, dad's side of the family all have glasses. I'm like, damn.
Oh, here's your curveball.
It happened to me.
Nobody in my family was, as
you?
Bad as me.
Oh, no.
My sister only needed them for, like, small situations.
Mm-hmm.
And the same with my mother.
Okay. Like
she could, I think it was nearsightedness for the both of them. Like my mother could drive no problem without having her glasses on.
Yep.
Me? Ready? I take this off. We have the banner in the back, the Just Call Jed Studios. And you can see everything relatively easily here. If I take my glasses off, I'm probably about 10 feet away from this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, about that.
Nothing.
Yeah, it's all gone.
It's gone. I can't even tell what the WGR logo looks like. It's a mess. This would work so much better if we had cameras on, but, you know.
Well, the bullpen scene, if they know, they know the distance.
Yeah, no, if you've seen any of the streams or anything like that, you know what I'm talking about on that one. But also to be 10 feet away from something and not being able to see it without glasses.
It's tough.
I'm that bad.
Yeah, so I eventually did get glasses, although never got prescription goggles when I was swimming. I tried them out once, hated them. So for my entire swim career,
How much do you need to see when you're swimming?
Not too much. A lot, I feel like.
I mean, outside of like just, I follow the line. That's kind of about it.
Can you see the line without glasses?
Yeah.
Then you're good.
My only issue was,
as a matter of fact, if you're not going straight, you actually have a problem mechanically.
Yeah. Yes. The only time I ever had an issue was seeing the times. Like once I finished, I always had to go right up to my coach and go, I saw a five. That's about all I got.
Just how'd I do?
That's all I could do. Actually funny on that.
You were pretty good at it. So like the times actually mattered.
Yeah. Yeah. My first school record I broke was the 500 freestyle. I had an idea that I'd broken it. I had gotten really good through a club coach. I could usually time myself for those about five or so minutes.
Maniac behavior.
I could usually mentally time myself for a long time. I could really do that well. So I knew I had done pretty darn good. I had no idea. So I looked over to where my coach was and I waited to see his reaction. And when I saw him jump up and, like, you know, fist pump in the air, I was like,
you know.
Got it. All right, cool.
Yeah.
But I had no idea what the time was until I talked to him. I had zero idea.
All you knew is that you saw him be excited, and that's good.
Yep, that's all I needed. That's all I needed.
That was the only validation you needed.
That's it.
Yeah, that's perfect.
And then I have to react normally too, so I don't look like a weird kid who just broke school records. Like, oh
yeah, it's different from looking a little different from looking at times to see if you broke a school record,
yeah.
Versus looking at a sideline trying to decipher hand signals that you can't really see.
Yeah, one you can absolutely get away with. The other, one no.
We immediately changed that. Someone else would then show me in the huddle what the signals were, and then I was like, oh hey, yeah, there we go. Actually, it's this. So I'd have to decipher it like. We were playing telestrations or something like that, or charades. That's what's going on. Mm-hmm. We're passing the charades along, and I'm like, oh, it's this play. Okay.
Got it. Everyone line up. We got it. We have 5 seconds now. Let's go.
We have 5 seconds. Hurry up.
803-0550, the number to call. Bills OTAs today. I don't know if we should expect Josh Allen. I don't really care. But a part of me is like, he did just get married this weekend.
He did get married this weekend, but I would also not be surprised.
I won't be surprised, and here's why. And I heard the guys on One Bills Live bring it up yesterday. Mandatory min cap is next week, and then we just talked about it with Sal. He's got like 5 weeks of nothing. Now, depending on his now wife's schedule, not bad. It might be good. However, depending on her schedule, it might be, hey, actually, no, like this is the only week we can do this. Because they're both very busy people. Her obviously being a working actress, him obviously being an NFL football player. So I
think they're going to have enough time probably in the next 5 weeks or so to carve something out, I would hope.
The real question is, do rich people still do honeymoons? I don't know.
If anyone is, 803-0550.
Because I'm sitting there and I'm like, they could do a Europe trip anytime they want in the offseason. They don't have to worry about it.
That's actually a really good point.
Like where the average American sitting there going like, no, we saved up for this
for two years. We can't afford anything else. We're doing it now.
We're doing a 14-day vacation. We'll never financially recover. Where them, they might be all right. Look, I was forced over the weekend. I was forced over the weekend to see all this stuff about their wedding, all of which I saw against my own will. I just want to be on Twitter seeing anything about the College World Series.
Love that for you.
NBA, NHL, anything.
I love that you're like, nope, I don't want to see my quarterback.
Yeah, here's the voyeuristic pictures of Josh and Haley's wedding. Thrilled. I feel so gross looking at this.
Why?
Because all of it looked like it was in a bush 200 yards away. And I'm like, we're not supposed to see this, guys. We are not supposed to see this.
We were not supposed to. You're absolutely right. We probably should never have seen any of these pictures. However,
although it did look like Terry Pegula was there, Sean McDermott was there, Deion Dawkins was there, among others. So good on them. Also had some former Bills news. Gabe Davis meeting with the Pittsburgh Steelers today.
After he was there.
Yeah, he was there. So good for him. He like left California. He's like, I'm going to Pittsburgh.
I was just there.
It's a lovely city.
Yeah. Have fun with whoever the hell their quarterback is.
Are they still convinced it's going to be Aaron Rodgers?
I don't know anymore.
That's kind of the vibe it's giving, is that they're sort of just waiting for him to show up at mandatory minicamp.
I.
Like, he's not signed, but, like, that's the vibe it gives.
But also, I'm hoping that Pittsburgh is not convinced it's Aaron Rodgers and they're actually going with Mason Rudolph and it's like their actual good idea.
I mean, yeah, the good idea is to like, hey, guys, we're going to hit like a heavy reset here. It's projected to be a much better quarterback class next year. We are going to get a good look at a lot of these guys.
Which would make it all the more hilarious when Mike Tomlin wins 9 games somehow.
With Mason Rudolph. That's the thing, too. If that man wins 9 games with Mason Rudolph,
then we know.
But then there is something. I don't care that he doesn't go 4 on 4th down. I don't care. He's a damn good coach. Oh. And anyone would be happy to have him. Just give him a quarterback.
I don't
think it's happening with Mason Rudolph. I don't think that's happening.
If it happens, then we know that there is some sort of like
devil magic.
Yeah.
That's it. Anything that inconveniences me is magic.
I was going to say like blood oath that he will never have a losing season ever.
Anything that inconveniences me or my favorite sports teams has to be devilry.
Yes.
I assume. Has to be. Or just good magic. It could be good magic too. It doesn't always have to be bad.
Yeah, but we just don't have any of that here.
I just think no one's...
Tell me I'm wrong.
No one's biting the bullet and just taking one for the team.
Well, I mean, hang on. The Bandits are actually...
The Bandits.
What do you mean nobody's taking a... What?
We only get burned now, man. Someone has to risk
that
themselves
means
and be like...
That means it's oops all bullets.
Well, no.
Yes.
They're like, we're going to win the old-fashioned way. And I'm like, no, look at the Chiefs.
No.
They get it done.
You just said someone has to bite the bullet here. That's like all of us, dog.
Dude, we don't play on the teams, though.
No.
We just have to suffer through it.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Everything here, it's oops all bullets.
Mm-mm.
That's all we get for our sports teams, except for the Bandits. They're our golden child.
They are so good. They're still
you know what's
fun.
The worst part? They're the golden child, but they're also the middle child. The middle child getting overlooked.
Yeah. That is pretty heavy, middle child syndrome.
Stacy's over here with 4 green ribbons, and we don't care.
I think that's right, actually. Yeah. No, I think that's spot on.
Because the Sabres child continues to write on the walls with crayon.
Wait, so which one would be?
Oh, the Sabres are the younger child causing all the problems.
Okay.
And the Bills are the older child.
Not necessarily valedictorian, but like the star athlete.
They're trying their best.
They've got a ton of personality. Yeah.
Yeah, the Bills are the older child. They're trying their best.
And then the middle child, likely going to be valedictorian, pretty darn good personality, good athlete too. But yeah, they're
overlooked because
you're second of three.
Because the baby, the Sabres, keep writing on the wall with crayons.
Well, the drawings sometimes come out really well.
Next thing you know, there's a fork heading towards a socket, and you got to stop that.
Yeah, you don't want that. You don't want that.
Can you tell my little brother was a troublemaker?
I was just saying, you really don't want that. You do not want that. 803-0550, the number two call. We're going to break here just a little bit early to hopefully get ahead of Bills defense coordinator Bobby Babich jumping on with the media today as OTAs with the media is happening today. Of course, you heard Sal Capaccio there mention OTAs did start yesterday, but today the lone day where the media gets to hang out, watch, write articles, talk to people. All the coordinators will be speaking today as, of course, we're going to have Bobby Babich coming up in little under 10 minutes. We're also going to have offensive coordinator Joe Brady and then special teams coordinator Chris Tabor after practice. Don't know if we'll be able to carry that live here on the air, but we will certainly have the audio for you to listen to later on the Odyssey app or on our website, WGR550.com. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer, stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. We are going to go now to One Bills Live, Bills defense coordinator Bobby Babich with the media. They are still getting set up, so we'll have that for you once Babich is at the podium. Now he is ready.
No, I mean, anytime you add talent that you identify in the way that you believe can help you is exciting, you know. And I think that, Brandon, Sean, everybody, the assistant coaches did a great job with our evaluations and making sure we're aligned on the same page. Obviously, you guys know it's well documented. We're going to try to take the best player available, but also, try to address a need here or there if it matches up correctly. And, our front office, our coaches do a tremendous job syncing up and making sure we're on the same page. So excited.
What stood out to you about Deion Walker and how he can impact and just the potential that he has?
Right. So Deion Walker, to me, when you turn on the tape, you know, he does things at his size that you're not expecting someone at that size to be able to do. Like all rookies, we got to find the consistency, you know, not only in his approach, but the execution of what we're trying to get done. And, you know, there's an adjustment period for them all. But he's an extremely talented person. He's a good person. And excited to see his growth.
Bobby, you've seen Tre'Davious
at
the peak of his career.
Yeah.
A couple injuries, a little older. Where do you see him now, his second go-around?
Well, first off, it's just great to be around Tre'Davious again. His energy is infectious. And some of you guys might see this as the season goes or the past and the training camps and all that, but his work ethic is second to none. It's second to none. And, you know, right now, really what you're seeing is Tre'Davious working himself back, ingratiating himself back into the Bills system. And some things have changed here and there. So he's still, you know, adapting to what we've changed. And quite honestly, he was sitting in his office, and it was pretty surreal when this free agency started to happen. And I was like, oh, man, this could really happen. It really was a surreal feeling. And, you know, we're excited that Tre'Davious and his family are back here in Buffalo. And I'm sure it's well documented. His kids were all born here. So, you know, they're coming home.
Bobby, having Trey and Dane in that room with Max,
yep.
How does that help a rookie corner?
Yeah, I think, again, I'm going to go back to Brandon and Sean, you know, target the right people for what we're trying to get done here. And I think that's really where it starts. You know, obviously the talent's important, but if you don't have the right person and Buffalo's a special place, well, you know, what's the influence not only on the defense but the team? And I think those are two guys that would influence rookies and are influencing rookies in a positive way. They're selfless. They want to see young guys, you know, prosper in the same way that maybe a Trey White helped a Dane, or, you know, going back to it, Dane helped a CB, right? So it's just an intertwined deal, and those guys they're awesome. They're Bills-type players, and it's great to have them back, and they are an absolute asset to that room. Right.
You're getting to know him as a player and then knowing what's out there for that first season.
Yeah, I think, you know, it starts with our evaluation of him in free agency. You know, we've actually looked at him for multiple years as far as Michael goes. So then you try to envision in your mind a role or a piece that he could perform, because his role in L.A. was quite unique. And you know, we'll see where it goes. He's got to learn the Bills defense first. We'll see where it goes and see how that kind of comes together for him, and see if anything could potentially expand from there.
We've heard from Sean a lot about how he kind of used Michael and Larry knowing that they're going to be suspended to start the season. How do you, as a defensive coordinator, like, make sure you're integrating them and getting them ready while also making sure you know they're not going
right
to be available for a Chubb? How do you approach
that? That's a great question. So I think that's twofold. You know, I think as far as for them, it's finding that sweet spot of where once they have to leave us, you're making sure that they have a good foundation to them. And then secondly, as a defense coordinator, you just adjust. That's the bottom line. That's what our job is. I don't think it's just defensive coordinators. Every coordinator, every head coach in the NFL has to be able to adjust. We talk about that a lot, and we'll have a plan, you know, as far as that goes once that time comes. Say that again.
What jumped out about Landon Jackson's college tape?
Yeah, I think obviously he's a big human. I think you guys have seen that. He's a big human. We definitely wanted to make sure that there was a size piece to what we were trying to do. And then it starts with really the person. He's a true professional, mature beyond his years. And then really when it comes down to it, you know, just – really kind of what we were looking for when you talk about the run game and the pass game and being a three-down defensive end. You know, that's important. Certainly he has a long way to go, in adapting and him earning the right to play and carve out a role for himself. But he's doing a good job, heck of a dude, and happy he's here.
Bobby, what did you learn from your first full year?
That's a great question. I knew that question was coming, Sal. I think there's a couple things that you learn as your first year. I know I stood here and I said, you know, you think you're ready and you're never ready till you go through it because you've never gone through something. And there's a couple things. I think first off, you know, and Sean being a great mentor is trusting my gut, trusting the preparation that went into it. Because I'll say this, not only myself and take myself out of it, our assistants prepare as well as anybody. And, you know, us putting together a good plan, why we're putting together the plan and where we're going from there, that's the first thing is trusting your gut. Being able to adjust is something that you have to be able to do. And I thought overall we did a pretty good job of that. And then the last thing I think is just, hey, you know, for anybody going through something the first time, everything's a first time. So now you've been in those situations and now you're a little bit more scarred per se, right? You're a little bit more weathered based on the situations and how fast those things can come up. So those are some of the things that I think I learned, you know, and looking forward to year two. Always,
right?
Always.
How much does, even though it hasn't happened yet, going through something else that was first time help you there?
Because I think it frees you up a little bit, right? I think it frees you up a little bit in the fact that you've been through A, B, and C. Okay, D happens. You can be on your feet a little bit quicker because A, B, and C are a little bit second nature to you, if that makes sense. You know, second time through on everything. And you know, there was some adjusting to what we did. And everything we do, everything we adjust, everything we adapt – and our hopes is for the better, you know, and that's the game of football.
You mentioned your assistants there. You've got a couple new ones in Nielsen and Pellegrino.
Yep.
Talk about their individual strengths as coaches and maybe what, you know, what they brought at this early stage.
Yeah. So, you know, Nielsen is a veteran. Both of them are veterans in this league. They've been around it. They've been around a lot of success. I think, you know, the Ryan, we've known each other for a long time professionally. You know, from afar, you kind of admired some of the work that he had done in the past, you know, because you have crossover tape and you notice defenses, teams, units, position groups that are playing well, you know, and I knew his reputation was pretty good. Obviously, he came in as a senior defensive assistant, and, you know, he's just going to provide a wealth of knowledge, not only for our defense, being through the things that he's been through, but in the places that he's been, but also he's coordinated, you know, so that certainly is a help there. As far as Mike Pellegrino, obviously, he was on the wrong side of the sidelines for a lot of years, you know, but I think the one thing that you always saw was the competitive nature of the DBs in New England. You know, and there's a lot of crossover tape within the division. And he came recommended, as did Ryan. You know, and it was one of those things, if we can add a piece that not only showed it through his coaching, but was part of a winning organization that had won for a long time, you know, obviously that's going to be a tremendous asset and provide value in our secondary.
Bobby, now that you've had months to go over what happened last year, watch the tape, and you've added players now to address some things. But as you look back, what are the things the defense needs to be better at this year?
That's a great question. And I'll start with there's a lot of things we did really well. I don't want to take anything away from our guys. You know, I think the biggest thing is the consistency. We talked a lot about that last year. And I think the overall consistency, you know, in our approach, in our execution, you know, and really making sure that no matter who we're playing, certain things stay the same. You know, and I need to make sure I do that first and foremost as the leader of the defense. And that would be my biggest thing is the consistency in you know, our overall approach to the game.
How do you improve the pass rush knowing that, well, I mean, you've got Joey who's already a little banged up, and you've got another guy in Michael who won't be available. How do you go ahead and improve the pass rush knowing, well, one guy out and one guy questionable?
Well, like you said it, I think when you talk about the players that are returning, it's just identifying from last year the areas that we need to improve to be more consistent, as I just talked about, and making sure that we own those, we know those, and we work on those, right? That's the training part of where we're at right now, and also going into training camp. You know, and then you talk about adding pieces that can flat-out rush, you know, and those are the two things there. Obviously, in every position, we need to stay healthy and be available. You know what I mean? And that's the number one key to being able to improve. Things are going to happen. It's the NFL, you know. So, but the more we can be available, the better off.
And when it comes to Joey, he talked eloquently about how, you know, his time's running out and how much he wants to reestablish himself. What's the level of disappointment maybe on his part, maybe on your part, that he's not available for these OTAs?
I think the disappointment more is from his standpoint, you know, he doesn't want that to happen. He doesn't want things to make him not available, you know, right now to be able to practice. You know, so I know he's disappointed. He's a competitor, you know, and we're not going to flinch. That's not what we're going to do. We're going to move along. We're going to adjust, as I said before. And when Joey's available, he'll be available, and he's working his butt off to make sure he's available.
Coach, your staff, I mean, on the defensive front there, mm-hmm. you've got three guys working with that group between Coach West, Coach Revs, you know, Coach Nielsen. First, do they have specific delineated responsibilities with that group, number one? And then number two, with all the youth you have there, how advantageous is it for you to have three coaches kind of get hands-on with some of that youth and maybe fast-track them?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, you look at it, and this has been me. This hasn't been anybody else. This has been how I've looked at it for years. I coached in the secondary for years. And a lot of places, especially in Sean's defense, you know, in places where he's been in charge of the defense, obviously he's the head coach, there's always been three secondary coaches, a lot of times. And I look at it, and I'm like, okay, you know, we play a lot of nickel. There's three coaches there. If you do the math, that's five people. There's four people up front. You know, sometimes why not have three if you can gain tremendous value in the acquisition of people that bring things to your organization. And so to start off, you know, they're all contributing in various ways. And, you know, they work together tremendously, you know, and then when it comes to having youth, you know, I think the first thing is the messaging needs to be the same, which, you know, throughout our staff, our entire defensive staff, the messaging has been consistent. And then secondly, I mean, the more hands-on and the more availability you have for young players, you know, the more they're going to achieve, you know, so they've got a scar, and the quicker they can get that together with immediate feedback, the better off they're going to, you know, trend upward.
Bobby, how did you evaluate the safety position from last season, and then how do you take that and then implement it this year? Because there is a lot of consistency in that position.
That's right. So I think when you look at it overall, I think Taylor Rapp had a very good year. I do. I think he had a very good year. You know, I think he had three interceptions last year. You guys, yeah, about three, which is a really good number. You know, I think some of the misconception is the deep zone stuff with Taylor. Well, if you look at a lot of his interceptions, where are they coming out of? You go back to the divisional game. When I was coaching linebackers, he won the division in 2 minutes as a deep half player. You know, so I think that's overlooked a little bit with Taylor. And I think, you know, the things that he tackled really well, really, really well. You know, and I thought DeMar had a really good year. I thought DeMar had a really good year, had his best year that he's had since he's been here. You know, and it was good to see, you know, him grow in with another year under his belt. And then obviously Cole was really filling in that third safety spot, which was good in the event that he could learn and grow in that first year. It's hard to play in this league as a rookie at certain positions. And if they're ready, they're ready. If they're not quite ready, they're not quite ready. But I will say this, the jump we've seen from Cole from that first year as a rookie to this year has been really good so far. There's a lot of room left, but it's been really good so far. So, you know, there is a consistency in there right now. Everybody's competing. Everybody's earning the right. And really, we just want them to make sure they're doing their 111 first and foremost and not trying to reach outside of the framework of what we're trying to do.
What is that jump you've seen from Cole specifically?
Yeah, I think it's just the comfortability of what we're doing, right? It's the more reps he gets of one call, you just see him taking more control. And you go back to it. He didn't play in training camp, right? He didn't play in training camp. And that was valuable reps missed out, you know. And for him to still be able to go in and compete at a level that obviously we need some improvement, but for a guy that didn't have training camp and to go in there and do some of the things he did was good. You know, so I think just the comfortability in what we're trying to do and second year in, you know, is tremendous for him.
But in that, you mentioned he was a rookie and had the injuries. But are your expectations higher for him? You know, that's not the case now. He's healthy and
yeah.
Year two, he's a high draft pick. Like, a lot comes with that.
I'll say two things. I'll never stand up here and put expectations on a player. I'll never do that. The only expectation I'll put on them is every time they go on the field, they're competing their butt off to be the best they can possibly be. And then secondly, I'll say this. Any player that my expectations are higher than their expectations, we got problem. So I would say it doesn't matter what my expectations of Cole are as long as his expectations are higher than mine.
Where does Jordan Hancock fit in? And when you have a player who, like Cam, right?
Yeah.
He's young. How do you balance training him to make sure you don't give him too much, but he gets what he needs?
Right. We have a plan going into it, Sal. We have a plan going into it with Jordan. And it's a well thought out, articulated, time sensitive plan that we have, and we're following that right now.
Would you consider that a wide-open competition, and how wide-open is it?
Absolutely.
To address that spot,
and I know,
even how last year ended.
I know you think I'm silly, but every position is wide open. Every position is wide open. So,
I don't think you're going to be replacing Terrell Bernard.
If Terrell Bernard doesn't come out and play the way he needs to play, we got to do his best for the Buffalo Bills. I hear you. I understand all that, but everything is wide open. Everything is wide open.
How can those additions on the defensive line, whether it be competition, depth, or just the ability to rotate, help Greg Rousseau make even more of an impact?
Competition is the best breeder of success. I'd say this. I'd say competition, and really, and I think I've said this before, is like we talked about when it comes to pass rushing and the improvement there of identifying areas where you need it. Like, success is an awful teacher. Success, I've said that before, it's an awful teacher, because success, maybe there's some content that sets in, but failure is the best teacher. Failure is the best teacher, in my opinion, and hopefully our whole goal is to make sure that the failures that we have in practice get corrected to translate to make sure on game day that those failures don't happen. So we obviously here, we celebrate the successes, but we make sure we learn and we build on our weaknesses, and those failures.
I'm sorry, Bob. With that defensive line, all the new pieces that are coming in, what's the biggest challenge with getting those guys to come together and mesh as a group? And you talked earlier about finding your role for Michael. You got to do that for Larry, for Joey, and all the young guys. What's the challenge with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest challenge is finding the right mix while also getting the guys the right repetition, there's a lot of pieces, like you said. There's a lot of competition, as you just brought up right now. And filling out a practice script as a position coach to make sure you're getting exactly what you want, it's calculated. There's so much that goes into it. And that's the biggest challenge right there. And then you got to go, when we can do one-on-ones, you got to look at the one-on-ones. You got to look at all these pieces that come together. And then hopefully everybody – is making the right choice.
What about you and Taron Johnson? How do you want him to build off of what he did last year, whether it's on the field or in that, you know, growing into that veteran leadership role?
Yeah, I think Taron's a guy you don't have to challenge. Taron is constantly challenging himself. Taron wants to be the best nickel on the planet Earth, you know, and he works that way. He's tough. He's smart. He's you know, gone through a lot of things here in Buffalo that have helped him to have success. You know, so you know, I think Taron knows the things that he needed to improve on from last year. You know, and like we said, you know, you build on your strengths, and then whatever his weaknesses were last year, he certainly has identified and been made aware of where we need to improve.
Understanding what you just said about how every job is open.
Yeah.
We've got to see a very limited amount of time last year with Terrell and Matt
mm-hmm.
next to each other. What can that do for your defense when they are both out on the field together?
Yeah, I mean, you know, here's the deal. So when it comes down to it, when you're working in a unit, right? So you talk about the D-line, linebackers, DBs, you know, and I'd really even throw Taron in there because that, you know, second level of the defense. The more consistency that you can have with the people you're playing with, specifically at the level you're playing with, the better off you'll be, right? You build a rapport. There's almost, instead of it being verbal communication, it's almost a look to where, hey, I know what he's doing. So I would start with, you know, they need to mow their own backyards. They need to make sure that their level of play is at the point that we need it and at the point that they want it to be. And then I would say that the more they're together and they take care of what they're doing, and then you do the, and then you talk about the cohesiveness and the repetition together, you know, hopefully it's a winning product for us on the field.
Some are more pro ready than others. Where do you see Dorian Strong in that regard in terms of his pro readiness?
Yeah, I'll say this, Dorian's done a nice job, but like all our rookies, we're early on in this thing. There's a long road ahead of him, and, you know, he is intentional about making sure that he's doing things the way we want to do them. He's hard on himself, you know, and all you can really look at right now, yes, we're evaluating the player and his acclimating, I wasn't going to use the right word there, to what we're trying to do here, right? He's got to unlearn Virginia Tech's defense and learn our defense, as do all our rookies. And that's where, you know, yes, we're evaluating him as the player, but at the same time, we've got to get him to the point where he can be so comfortable in our system, we're truly seeing the Dorian Strong or Max Hairston or Deion Walker or any of these guys that we're like, okay, he's got a grip of the system. Here we go. This is who we're going to get. If that makes sense, if I answered your question.
A lot of talk about
that's all we have time for today.
I can do one more.
A lot of talk about Max Hairston's speed pre-draft.
Yeah.
What have you seen? How's that translated to the football field? Because it's pretty tantalizing when you see
yeah. fast. Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's two things, and I think we're starting to see, like I just talked about, we're starting to see there's speed and then there's playing fast. And I think what we're starting to see is Max playing faster and utilizing his speed because his processing is starting to slow down a little bit in the event that he's grasping what we're throwing at him, if that makes sense. So there's some flashes here and there of it, but everybody, you know, all those rookies, we got to get them playing as fast as they possibly can. And obviously Max is blessed with a lot of speed, and we'll see if that can show up consistently on the field.
Sorry,
Bobby.
Yeah,
second year, you know, making strides that a second year player should make. And also there's things with everybody. There's still certain things that he's got to improve. But, you know, Joe is Joe. Joe works his butt off. He doesn't say a word. Smart player, and we'll see where it goes.
That was Buffalo Bills defense coordinator Bobby Babich. We have got some breaks to catch up here, so we'll do that now, and we're preparing for Bills offense coordinator Joe Brady to talk in the next 10 or so minutes. We'll see if he's early or see if he's on time or a little bit late. But that's all coming up next. You're listening to WGR.
As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected.
Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Join us in the fight against cancer by riding with Bulldog and WGR's Ride for Roswell team on Saturday, June 28th. Once you join our team, you'll receive an email to pick up your team t-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden Avenue in Lancaster. Not a rider? You can still support the cause by donating to our team and helping us reach our goal of $10,000 before the ride. Visit WGR550.com for details. We already heard from Bills defense coordinator Bobby Babich, and coming up after another quick timeout, we are expected to hear from Bills offense coordinator Joe Brady. Stick with us. We'll be right back. We didn't break for long. Bills offense coordinator Joe Brady.
What have your early impressions been of Joshua Palmer, and how do you really see him fitting into the offense, the impact he can make for you guys?
Yeah, I think, I've been a fan of Josh's since he was coming out. He's an very intelligent football player, conscientious. Wants to know the why and the big picture to everything, and kind of a seamless fit for our room. He's a guy that can play all the positions, play inside, play outside. So it was a great get for us.
Have you seen Dalton Kincaid respond to what was a trying season, the injury and playing through that? His approach this spring thus far.
He was here. I feel like he lived here this offseason. When you see him out of practice, he looks just like Dalton Kincaid. Credit to him just living in the weight room, with the medical guys, just getting together with them. But I've loved everything I've seen from him. He's playing with confidence again, so it's been really fun to see. Well, look, every year is a new year. You know, we haven't done anything this year, so our approach is you don't get to pick up where you left off, and we really don't want to. And so Josh kind of embodies that. It's we're starting over from when it's install one, it's the most basics, and we have to master the system at every level. And so sometimes you think you know everything, and then you're, you know, if you really humble yourself to like just, hey, starting over, there's always little things that you can pick up. There's always elements of the offensive line, you know, it's like there's, you know, 101 sometimes for a quarterback position, and then you know, with a guy like Josh, you get the MVP, you know, it's you're trying to just continue to challenge him in ways, and you know, he wants it all, but every year's a new year. We kind of just start over, and he embraces that and kind of rolls with it, so it makes a lot of, it makes it easy.
So how many years he's starting over, I know every year he expects something to improve on. Last year was turnovers. What have you seen from him this year, like as a focus point?
Yeah, that's going to probably be a question you guys will have to, you know, ask him. What I love about Josh is his demeanor, his approach, his mindset. I mean, it is as impressive as it gets, and it's infectious around the team. So when he walks in the building, you don't see a guy that you don't feel a guy that just won the MVP last year and it's like, oh, you know what, like I'm good. You feel a guy that's hungry and is trying to figure out ways to get better and embracing his new teammates and trying to get them on the same page as him. And you know, it's impressive, and I feel like year after year, I'm having to do a little less because he's doing more, and that's what's impressive about you know, him as a leader.
I know that even though
every year is a new year, as well as everybody needs a bunch of work last year. Do you want it to carry over, can it carry over to his level of success, given that you've got new pieces in place?
Well, it's about defining what everyone eats kind of means. And to me, it has nothing to ever do with production. It's all about a selfless mindset. It's all about an approach. It's all about of, hey, I'm going to take care of my job. And if I do my job, everything else will come, you know, come to me. And so that's all that it ever really, you know, is about. And so when guys have success, you know, we want to love each other, you know, and celebrate each other's success. That's what it's about. It's not about, hey, you know, this guy goes for 100 yards and then this guy runs for 100 yards. It's never about that. It's just about celebrating each other's successes and not caring about your own and caring about finding ways to win football games.
Joey, I know that you said that every year's a new year, but you're kind of unique here. You have a lot of guys returning, right? I mean, whole offensive line, basically 10 guys, running back room, maybe a couple receivers have changed. How does that change your approach as an OC? Everything's different, but you have these building blocks you've been building with the same group.
Yeah, no, it's unique, but I think a problem that every coach faces every year is if you think you can just pick up where you left off, you lose sight of the details, you lose sight of the how, you lose sight of like what got you to that point. And so, yeah, there's elements of what we did last year that we obviously need to continue to sustain, but there's so many elements we got to get better at. And I think when you just focus sometimes on the good or we got a lot of guys back, you can get comfortable. And we got to get better on offense, right? We got to find ways to improve. As long as we embody that and have that mindset, regardless if we had 11 new starters or all 11 back, we got to have that same approach.
What does better look like when you score 30 points a game?
Well, it's never been about the production and the results to me. And that's something that we embody with it. It's, you know, when it's a run play, what does the backside receiver look like? You know, when I'm running a route that I might not be the primary, but I'm opening it up for the other receiver, what does my body language look like? And so I believe that all of that leads to points. You know, but I think sometimes we get caught up in thinking that the result is the big picture, and it's not. And I think good things, and when everybody eats, it's a mindset of just doing your job, and the results will take care of itself.
What are your thoughts on what James Cook is going through right now, and have you had any contact with him before?
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys know by now how I feel about Jimbo, and look, that's stuff that's besides me, that, you know, I don't make those decisions and whatnot, but he was obviously huge for us last year, and I'm excited to, you know, when he is here to be able to get with him. It's, I obviously love Jimbo, but it's just like anyone, whenever someone's not here, it's a great opportunity for the guys that are, and, you know, seeing Ray and Ty and, you know, Diev and Frank just get those opportunities, like everybody kind of benefits from that. And, you know, but I am excited whenever Jimbo is back with us.
Specifically with Ray Davis, how have you seen seen him take advantage of these extra reps after opportunities in James's absence?
Well, I think your second year playing football is just in the NFL, just going through the off season is critical. You know, you think back to these rookies, they go from, you know, they go straight from a bowl season to getting ready for a combine and training to then, I mean, they're just trying to keep their head above water, right? And so for a guy like Ray, who is as conscientious as it gets and wants to be a perfectionist, it's been really good for him to kind of take a step back and kind of be able to evaluate how he played last year and watch the tape and learn the running back position at a different level. Like, I thought that was a big reason, you know, we've been able to, you know, have some success in the run game as we have the last few years, is because the running backs understanding what the O-line are thinking. And now Ray just having the offseason to go through it, you know, has been really good and really unique. And you can see him just kind of taking another step to his game, both in the run game and the pass game, and which makes life exciting for me.
Joe, I'm sorry. A guy comes in like Khalil Shakir, and you hope as a rookie, you know, when he was a rookie, that he can get in on the field and everything. Has he raised his ceiling in your mind for what he's done and progressed and now signing a new deal to what he could be for you guys offensively, as good as he was last year?
Yeah, I don't really believe in ceilings, because I think then you're just limiting what you think a guy can do. A guy like Khalil Shakir, and then on the same thing, it's right, like, you get guys, they come in the league and they get drafted and they feel like they have to live up to an expectation. Then they go into a contract and they feel like, I gotta play well, I gotta get a contract. And then they get the contract and then they feel like they have to live up to the contract. I don't need him to do anything besides be Khalil Shakir. Like, his good is good enough. I have to continue to find different ways to get him involved in the offense. But I don't believe in putting ceilings on players, because both guys that we've had or guys that are coming from different places, because, you know, we got to continue to find ways to utilize our guys. And I couldn't say anything better about Khalil Shakir and his approach, his mindset, and how he does everything. And I don't need him to change anything, any part of. There's a reason he was rewarded for what he did.
Hey, Joe, thoughts on two guys, Elijah Moore first and then LaVisca Chenault. It's early, but what do you see in them, and what do you know of them coming to the Bills? Where do you think they could fit in here?
Yeah, I mean, it's look, we're 4 days into OTAs, right, with no pads. It's important, but I don't live in the world of, hey, the production is everything right now. To me, it's just like we were just kind of talking about the how, you know, are we understanding kind of what we need to do, what we're asked to do. What I've been the most impressed with those guys is their care for understanding and learning our offense and how we do things here. And that's what's important to me. You get a guy like Elijah, you know, I feel like he's living here, wanting to just kind of embody it, play inside, play outside, figure out, hey, what can he do to, what is Josh thinking on these plays? You know, what's the why? You know, Elijah's, we're from the same area, so I've been following him, I feel like, his whole career, and it's been really cool of just seeing his approach, his demeanor, a guy that, you know, doesn't speak much, but just kind of works. You know, LaVisca, like I said, a lot of these guys, it's fun because we've seen them coming out. LaVisca was an absolute playmaker coming out, you know, get the ball in his hands and good things happen. And it's been really cool to just get these guys that are playmakers, being able to see what they can do and try to get a feel of and learn them. Just because a guy was utilized in a certain way somewhere else doesn't mean that's the only way they can be utilized. And so that's the process right now that we're trying to figure out is, hey, how do you utilize a guy like Elijah Moore or Josh Palmer or LaVisca Chenault, some of these new guys, but their approach, their mindset, everything that we're kind of putting on their plates right now has been impressive.
You mentioned Dalton living in the weight room.
I'm sorry. I'm used to you guys on Zoom.
Have you seen similar gains from Keon this offseason?
Yeah, Keon, it's like I said, same thing like Ray Davis, right? You go into your second year, I mean, you're a 21-year-old guy, you see a guy, a basketball player that's now evolving into a football player, you know, you see the physicality. Again, there's no pads on, right? And so don't get me wrong, it's important. These practices are everything to us. We get to go out on the football field, but we know that football's played in the pads. But Keon's knowledge of the game, the nuances of the receiver position and the release game, all of those elements that he's had an off season, we've had an off season to watch it with him, see his growth. You know, so yeah, you see those signs right now. I liked how Keon played last year, and I'm enjoying seeing the questions that he's asking, his approach, moving him around, doing different things with him, seeing what he can and cannot do. But all of that stuff, once pads come on for any wide receiver, you know, once the physicality of the game, you know, football's a physical sport, so once the pads come on, you know, that's the biggest thing.
You mentioned moving him around. Could he get more looks on the inside?
Yeah, I mean, look, we have such a dynamic guy inside, but I don't believe in inside receivers, outside receivers. So a guy like Khalil, he's incredible at what he does. But that's some of the growth that, you know, for me as an offensive coordinator is I got to make sure I'm moving Khalil around and getting him outside where they don't know exactly what he's doing. And part of, you know, our mindset and our approach with Everybody Eats is guys learning every position. Like, we don't have positions. It's understanding where you are in the offense. And so that helps us be able to move guys around inside, outside. And the more that you can have guys where they're not only one position players, it makes life a lot easier for us. And hopefully it makes it harder on the defense.
Joe, what did you learn about the going through the head coach interview process last year, whether about yourself or the league or just the process itself and how it might benefit you?
It's unique. It's unique when you're doing it, right? Your mind's all on the game. So sometimes you're trying to figure out if you're even half there for those process. But it's a unique process for me because you don't have to ever prepare for those because you're not spending any of your time on it. So you just go out, you're able to go there, kind of be yourself, answer whatever questions that they're, you know, have different than, you know, when I was in Carolina, our season was over, you're sitting there, you're preparing for interviews, you're thinking through those questions. You know, it's what's unique about doing it in the playoffs is like you get off the practice field and you're like, all right, cool. Just ask me whatever you got because I didn't spend any time and you get to be yourself. And, you know, so it's a unique thing, but to say kind of learned anything about myself, you know, some of that is just it's interesting just learning both sides and seeing the other side. I always feel like sometimes those interviews are just as much an interview, you know, the people across, you know, from you as well. But obviously none of those things that I'm kind of thinking about right now. I know everything else takes care of itself. There's a reason I wanted to be back in Buffalo for sure.
You feel how self-assuring was last year in that sense, having that full year under your belt, the success that you offense enjoyed. You had the NFL MVP for the first time, which is it doesn't happen all the time for offensive coordinators. And what are the challenges going into your second season as a full-time OC here in Buffalo?
Yeah, what was the original? I don't think you don't coach with that mindset, you know, like.
But in retrospect, as you reflect back, now that you've had a chance to reflect.
Yeah, I think when you reflect back, you always reflect back on how you got to find ways to be better. Like we didn't do what we wanted to do, you know, and that falls on me. I have to do a better job, and so I don't think like that. I'm so excited when our guys have success. I loved seeing Josh, you know, win MVP. I love seeing our guys in the Pro Bowl. I love seeing our guys rewarded with contracts. That's them, you know, and they get rewarded for it. I have to continue to find ways for us to get better, and you know, so. That's not just focusing on the things that we did bad. We have to find out what we did well last year and making sure that, you know, when teams are studying us and figuring us out, that we're continuing to evolve from that standpoint as well. But that doesn't mean I'm just negative Nancy at all times. But, you know, I think that drive and that ambition for you is you see the guys that you're looking in front of in the unit meeting and you want to make sure that you're doing everything for them to put them in a position to have success. And so we don't kind of live in a profession that, you know, you want the praise. You're just doing it so that your guys get all the praise.
Hey, Joe, when people think of offensive coordinators, they primarily focus on where the ball goes, right? Who's throwing it, who's catching it, who's getting it. But to the question that was asked earlier regarding continuity of your offensive line, left there is back, can you give an insight on how the offensive coordinator and you guys, how you incorporate the fact that you're set there, set, you know, but how does that impact what you do specifically? Because I think a lot of times people just think of where the ball goes.
Yeah, no, it's, look, we have the best, obviously the best quarterback in the game, but you're always going to go what you're, it's hard to be a good quarterback if you're on your back, right? And so your offense line is critical, and that's both in the run game and the pass game. And I think the big thing that we try to pride ourselves here is the communication. Like, it is fortunate that we do have a lot of guys back. And so seeing, hey, their thoughts, hey, what are some elements that they think that we can improve on? Hey, how we can approach blocks differently? Hey, this is a scheme that we might have, you know, done a little bit last year, but, hey, that's something that we really need to kind of go with this year. It's more of, we know that they're back. They make our lives a lot easier, but trying to get their feedback on because we trust them and we know them different than if you had five offensive linemen, you're trying to figure their strengths out. it helps when you have guys back because you do know what they can do. So it's more of, hey, can we rely on those guys to figure out, hey, they got to find ways to get better, but hey, what is the next thing that we can do based off of how they're, man, you're David Edwards and you're working with Deion Dawkins now, you're Sibo Spencer, they know each other. Hey, we can do this type of block. That's what's been really kind of cool. And it's tough right now. They're not wearing pads. I feel like they do individual for 4 hours during practice. But, you know, that's been really cool for me is those guys just coming to the office and just kind of, you know, kicking it and giving their thoughts and just talking ball.
Joe, we've not had a chance to talk to you since the AFC Championship game. What are your takeaways from that now that you've had a chance to sort of thoroughly digest it?
You know, I say I'm not a results guy, but, you know, when your season ends, the result is the result, right? And when you're the offense coordinator, you have your job is to score one more point than the opposing team, and we didn't get that done. And so that's what obviously, you know, makes it hard. That's what's tough is you walk away and you're like, hey, you know what? I didn't do a good enough job. Without getting into specifics, you know, that's really the thing. Our guys know, you know, I try to pride myself on, you know, when the guys come out of the game, they know that I put them in the best position. And I don't think any of our guys would say I didn't, but my job is to say, hey, we didn't win the football game. We didn't get to where we needed to get to. I didn't do a good enough job. And I prefer when it falls on my shoulders and not my guys.
To that point, I mean, you had the ball with 3.5 minutes.
No doubt.
You probably like that situation.
Every time.
How much has that stuck with you this offseason that you didn't get that done?
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't – you can't always – I'm not sleeping. We want the ball in our hands with the game on the line. Like, no doubt about it, and I'll take that all day, every day. And so that's an opportunity for us, and we didn't get it done. And, that's important to us. That's always going to stick with you. But if we get that opportunity again, that's what I want. That's what our guys want. Like, you know, we got to be in that situation. We're playing on the road in those games, that chance going on, and we got to be excited as hell to go on that field and be able to go win the football game, and we didn't get it done. So we don't dwell on it. We know what we're working towards, and when we start over and we do everything and we just continue to take care of what we can, when those opportunities come, we're going to make the most of it. And so, that's kind of where we're at.
Cool. Thanks,
awesome. Appreciate you guys.
That was Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady. We also heard from Bills defense coordinator Bobby Babich. If you missed any of that and you'd like to listen back, you can find it on the Odyssey app or on our website, WGR550.com. With that, though, we have got to catch up on some breaks. So with that, we've got some bills to pay and some breaks to play. You're listening to WGR.
As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We've heard from Bills defense coordinator Bobby Babich. We just wrapped up listening to Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady as this is week number two of OTAs. The media will be in person for practice. And then next week is mandatory minicamp running from next Tuesday through Thursday. It sounds like James Cook is not in attendance again. Not too surprising. The real wait and see is next Tuesday for mandatory minicamp. I personally, if you had to ask if I was a betting man, what I would say, I think he's going to be in attendance. There does not really feel like there's this impending doom of a holdout or a hold in even. I think he'll be there. I'm not really worried by any means.
Yeah, I do think that it's going to be just one of the, like, again, if and only if James Cook is not at mandatory minicamp, should you be allowed to actually voice concerns?
Now, I will say, though, if he's not there,
that's when, so Owen Parker and I talked about this a little bit on Saturday. We did a very hockey-heavy show, but we saw that there was an Instagram post over the weekend as well. But again, it's all just the same harmless thing that I think at this point, which is he just wants to get paid, which is something that is a very human aspect. So I think it's relatively harmless, but we also then got to the stages.
Yes.
And the stages are, right now, no, it's not a concern. Everything's cool. If he doesn't show up to minicamp and it's starting to cost him money to do this, then it is, I will allow you to have your concerns and voice them. But I'm not joining you.
I think it's probably where I'd be at too. Yeah.
I will hear your concerns. You can call in and be mad about it. And I'm not going to say no. I'm not going to say chill out. I'm not going to tell you what to do or how to feel. If he does this into training camp, I'm joining those voices.
Right. I am now with you.
I am now with you.
And then if it becomes a Le'Veon Bell situation of missing games,
then it's louder. Training camp's the final stage. It's the degree of volume.
Yep.
And I don't think we'll ever get to that point.
No, I agree on that.
But if he doesn't show up for mandatory minicamp next week, I will not say calm down at this point. I will say, okay, I hear you. I'm not with you, but I understand. I get it. I get why you're nervous, and I'm nervous, but I'm not going to say anything about it at that point. But I'll let you say it. I'm not going to shut it down.
And then it'll be 5 weeks of like, man, please show up.
And then it's 5 weeks. Weeks of hell.
That's the thing, too.
And that's probably where it gets me to elevated to being with you, is because I'd have to endure it for 5 weeks saying, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal.
Yep.
We're okay. Everything's okay. Everything's okay. What do you mean he's not here?
That would be the biggest pain about it, is that, and that's why I think next week is like the start of the, like, it potentially could be a big story. I'm not saying that it is, but it potentially could be a big story, is that, yeah, if he's not there at mandatory minicamp, and then we've got 5 weeks to go, well, is he going to show up here?
Of hell, really.
You know, I don't imagine they're going to get a deal done. Every report is that they're not even close. So that would be surprising. Then, yeah, it just becomes 5 weeks of, yeah, like you mentioned, it's sort of the ramp-up period to that first day. Did he report? No. Damn. and then you go from there.
That's then I get mad and I'm joining everyone.
Yep.
Because I endured this battle for 5 weeks and – this is my reward. No.
You felt stabbed in the back.
Yes, it's like I'm betrayed now. So no, I'm still at, everything's fine. There's no James Cook issue yet. That's the sentence that I have to say. There is no James Cook issue, and in parentheses, yet.
803-0550, the number to call. Do have some good news. I don't want to end the segment on a bit of a downer there.
Let's have something happy.
If you did miss it last night, big news for the University at Buffalo.
Love this.
Pete Lembo landing a four-star recruit, an edge rusher out of Ohio. Malachi Irvin, I believe he's the only the second four-star recruit to pick UB. I believe he was a linebacker back in 2005 or 2006, part of that MAC championship winning in 2008. I think they also picked up two or three other recruits from Pennsylvania and Ohio as well, which is obviously big recruiting grounds for the MAC with, well, all of the Michigan schools and a few of the Ohio schools.
You're seeing a pair of back-to-back linebackers making it into the NFL there with Joe Andreessen and Sean Dolak getting on a training camp roster.
And you're likely going to give another linebacker to look at. Red Murdoch is going to be all MAC again.
Exactly.
And this time it just won't be in Sean Dolak. "Quote unquote" in Sean Dolak's shadow, because I think he finished second to him in total tackles.
If I'm Pete Lembo, I'm starting to point to, hey, my defense is getting some NFL noise.
Yeah, we get guys to the NFL.
We are getting some guys to the NFL on the defensive side of the ball. Join us, and that's the one thing that you can use a little bit of strong arming as a MAC school is, yeah, you get these NIL deals anywhere, and there's going to be plenty of teams that are looking at this sort of thing. But for UB to land a four-star recruit is a big deal. And
oh, it's huge.
To get that kind of talent that is seen coming out of high school as a high level, that's a big deal for UB. It's an important thing, and it's also a way to continue the recruiting trail.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, too. You look at NIL. Let's say this guy, Malachi Irvin, the edge rusher, let's say he pops off for the first 2 years and decides to transfer to a Power 5 school. Well, now you can kind of put that on your resume of like, hey, we got him to Ohio State. We got him to Penn State. We can get you there. I think there is something to embracing the quote-unquote feeder program. It's not the best. Mm-hmm. You don't always have to, but that is something that you can notch on your belt like, hey, we got Khalil Mack to the NFL.
Yes.
But for this regime, it can be, hey, we got that guy to get a big payday at Penn State or Ohio State.
It may not
come
be
here for 2-3 years, and we'll get you there. That's something I think a lot
almost
of
almost like
smaller,
a JUCO route of
yes.
sorts.
I think some of these programs are going to have to embrace that, and if they don't, they're going to get left behind. You're not going to be able to keep these all MAC players
them,
for 4 years.
If you retain them, it's a bonus.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, it's great.
That's
but
the
that,
thing.
But that should not, I think, should not be the expectation.
And it's tough to be like that, you know, to have to embrace a JUCO mentality, a junior college mindset of we're only going to have these guys for 2 years and then the transfer portal is going to happen. That's not an easy thing to accept, but it's not something that you can't use to your advantage.
Mm-hmm. Pete Lembo and staff in the first year with UB, 9-4, a Bahama Bowl win. And now they'll start this year late August at Minnesota on national TV, Fox Sports 1. We'll find out, too, probably in the next few months as well, where they line up in terms of the preseason polls in the MAC. But all expectations point to them being one of the favorites to win the MAC championship. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
I think you guys know by now how I feel about Jimbo and that stuff. That's besides me that, you know, I don't make those decisions and whatnot, but he was obviously huge for us last year and I'm excited to, you know, when he is here to be able to get with him. I obviously love Jimbo, but it's just like whenever someone's not here, it's a great opportunity for the guys that are and, you know, seeing Ray and Ty and, you know, Diev and Frank just get those opportunities. Like everybody kind of benefits from that and, you know, but I am excited whenever Jimbo is back with us.
That is Bills offense coordinator Joe Brady talking about running back James Cook. The expectation is that he's not there.
Okay.
We'll see. Another player, by the way, that was talked about a lot with Brady, Dalton Kincaid.
Yes, and that's a
talk very highly about.
It's kind of been a pain point for a lot of Bills fans watching Kincaid and not getting the results that you're really getting or that you were supposed to be getting.
That's me.
That's why I said it. I'm looking right at you because you are one of those people. And I want to see him produce more as well. Everyone does. Kincaid wants to produce more.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, let's be entirely real about this. If Kincaid's not the most pissed person with his lack of lack of success, then we've got a problem here.
Right.
But I would assume that the athlete who's super competitive is also the one that is the most upset that he has not been on track.
Likely. You'd think, yeah.
I know it's never safe to assume, but I can comfortably assume that one, that like, yeah, you want to be better. Like, mm-hmm. Of course, there's always the team speak, what you say to the media of like, oh, you know, you're just here, happy to help the team win. I'm going to contribute what I can. No. I know you're mad that you dropped that pass.
Or just the pass wasn't thrown to you, what have you.
I know you are the most mad, as a matter of fact, of everyone in the area.
Yeah.
So.
But it was nice to hear, especially because Brandon Bean had talked about, and Sean McDermott had talked about, they want to see Kincaid bulk up for Brady to be like, yeah, he's basically lived here in the weight room.
Exactly. And
especially, I know there was the image of him, would that have been a month ago at off-season workouts?
Yes.
Where he looked a little skinny and you're like, Oh no.
I feel like that was just a, you know, those angles in the camera that, you know, they don't make you look as flattering.
Actually, the angle may have been good, just not for our purposes.
I don't know. But also, we don't know the human body very well.
That's fair.
We all think
I did okay in biology. I did okay.
We think we do.
Gotta be.
We don't. I got a B in biology.
I think I gotta be.
That's your credential. I got a B in biology.
I did okay.
I think... Kindly shut up.
That is not enough to give you credibility.
Exactly. Kindly shut up. But like that might have also been a photo that's like it just ends up being unflattering. It's not actually painting the right picture. And a lot of people were wrongfully freaking out about that, I think, on social media. But that's social media where everyone freaks out.
Well, it was May. You know, it was May. We need anything.
I don't care. At this point, it's social media.
Sabres weren't in the playoffs. We need anything.
If I didn't need Twitter, I'd be off of it in like a heartbeat.
I can't.
No. I'm talking about like for here.
Oh, well. No, I can't.
I'd be perfectly fine not ever needing Twitter in my life again.
There's like 4 days where I hate it, and then there's like one or two runs of tweets where I never really use
Facebook anymore.
Never leaving here.
I have to use Twitter because it's fan engagement. And
you like Instagram?
I have one. Yeah. I don't get you know I don't use
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I don't use mine
either. The only reason I use it is to send you dumb memes.
I don't even do that, yeah.
I don't post anything.
I feel bad. My uncle will send me a lot of stuff, too, and I'll see it, and I'm like, I'm not opening that app.
All I do is, like, I send
I'm
you
not
like
opening
a,
it.
I'll send you, like, a D&D meme, and that's it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
That's about it.
It's unhinged, and then you don't even respond to me.
I don't use it, man.
No, I know.
People try to get a hold of me on it, and I'm like, don't. Please don't.
I don't take it personal. I just see it and go, I'm not going to send this through a text.
Yeah, no. You could.
But I won't. Mm-hmm. I respect you enough.
But, yeah, Dalton Kincaid. I am curious about what this season could be for him. It did feel like there were times last year. I know Joe Marino has talked a lot about that with our morning guys that, no, like the underlying numbers really like him.
The underlying numbers really like him.
And there should be some expectation that he'll pop off. We just simply haven't seen it to the greater extent. I know his rookie year was really, really good, and he broke numbers, and he basically got screwed by being in the same year Sam Laporta. I understand that. But to that point, Laporta has popped off far more than Kincaid really ever has. And when he was drafted, the expectation was, based on how everyone spoke about him, he is a pass catcher, not a tight end, which I would hold back on those labels, man. That is going to cost you millions.
The other part about it is, how much is scheme dictating this as well? Because when he was drafted, Kenneth Dorsey, I will still never say Ken anymore. I'm forever mad at him.
He was a Dorsey pick.
He was a Dorsey pick for a system that was going to rely heavily on 12 personnel.
Mm-hmm.
And you were going to have these two tight ends out there all the time, yada, yada, yada. He gets fired halfway through that season.
I will tell you, maybe this isn't fair.
I do get concerned if they
made a first-round pick for an offense coordinator they were willing to move off with halfway through the year.
And that's what happened.
That
I think that was Dorsey trying to vouch for, no, I need this to unlock my system. And forget that I'm running space concepts with two receivers in the same area, and that's why Josh Allen's interceptions were so high that year, because wide receivers are in the same area. Therefore, if wide receivers are in the same area, the secondary players are going to be in the same area, and there's more of them now.
That was really bad first half of the year.
God, I'm still so mad about Kenneth Dorsey.
And it's still wild. He got fired after a game that arguably really was not his fault. It's just they lost it, and they're like, all right, you got to go. It's the weirdest game to fire him after.
Let's not talk about Dorsey anymore so that I don't end up on a diatribe that we have no room for, really.
But it is tough to not talk about Dorsey when you bring up Kincaid because that is the feeling around there is that he was picked for a Ken Dorsey offense and we are not there anymore.
You know
we
what
are
screams?
In a very different spot now.
You know what it screams? In a different sport, Sabres trading for Brandon Montour.
Yeah.
That was a Housley idea. And then, well, hockey killer Ralph Kruger comes in and destroys everything, but, you know. The idea, though, was to execute a trade for a different coach. Mm-hmm. Execute an acquisition for a different coach. And this is what Kincaid is to me. It is a draft pick for a different coach, a different coordinator, a different person on your staff that is
very much not on your
staff validating
anymore.
This is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And my system is going to work because we're going to have this guy. We're going to run 12 personnel. Nobody's going to know what hit us. But then we're also still going to run James Cook out of a shotgun sprint draw.
Yeah.
I had to get that other sigh out.
Yeah.
That one sigh was not enough. I felt it in my chest. I needed to do it again.
He is somebody, though. I joke a lot that.
And then Cleveland brought him in, and that worked for nobody.
Yeah, that was still very.
I feel
weird.
Bad for Dorsey in that sense because, like, you got fired another job a year later, but like.
But wasn't he? He was brought in to not call plays, but be the offensive coordinator. And then they made him call plays.
Then they made him call plays with a terrible quarterback.
Yeah, that was a really weird situation. But I joke a lot about paying attention to a lot of what's going on with Elijah Moore, and it in some ways is not a joke. Kincaid, though, is really going to be the other guy, along with any of the new additions, Josh Palmer, sure. But it's because he was a first-round pick that they traded up for and talked highly about. And those are the picks that have kind of burned Bean in the last few years, these first, second-round picks, not being the home runs, arguably for some, not even being base hits, Kyer Elam. And so in year three, especially, and I'll grant this, tight ends do take a little bit longer to marinate. I don't disagree. I understand that.
You look at the same draft, though, and T.J. Hockenson is thriving as a second-round pick.
Yeah.
Or not Hockenson.
You mean LaPorta?
Yeah, Sam LaPorta. Wrong former Lions tight end there.
I think they wear the same number, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, that was – so let me revise that sentence. You look at Sam LaPorta, that same draft, and he's thriving right away.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a coordinator that's using him in a scheme that is kind of focusing on him and his athletic traits. Whereas with Dorsey, it never really happened that way. And again, because spacing concepts were not good.
Yep. Yeah, so year three is going to be huge for him. Also, and another reason too, because we did bring up James Cook.
It is kind of wild. It's only year three.
Right? But we did bring up James Cook. I'm okay with the Bills' offense. I've liked what they've done at wide receiver. I think it is more than enough to win a Super Bowl. But following this year, I think there's a really good chance James Cook is not on this roster. I think there is a very good chance he prices himself out and he goes to another team who's willing to pay him maybe close to $20 million a year. Then who's a big playmaker opposite Josh Allen you can trust? The expectation should be, based off of where he was drafted, Dalton Kincaid. Doesn't have to be. It could also be Keon Coleman. But one of those two, I think, has to assert themselves as that guy so that the sting of losing James Cook isn't felt so heavily on the overall offensive production. 803-0550, the number two call. Before we hit our next timeout, we do have your tickets to 8 amazing golf experiences with the WGR VIP golf cart. For just one low price of $129, unlock a season of golfing adventures, including Diamond Hawk, Shamrock Hills, Attica's 10th hole and golf course, Bobolink, and Golf Dojo. Your WGR VIP golf cart also hooks you up with a free box of premium Vero X1 golf balls from Encore Golf and score deals at Rick Zurek's Golf Warehouse on Transit in Bowmansville. A portion of the proceeds will benefit PGA Hope. Get all details and purchase your WGR VIP golf cart today at getmyperks.com. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. You're listening to WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here as we wrap up a Tuesday morning here on WGR. Coming up in just about 8 minutes, Sabres Live. As tomorrow...
You mean 7 minutes.
7 minutes? Oh, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up in, 7 minutes will be Sabres Live as tomorrow is going to be the start of the Stanley Cup Final. We have a rematch, Florida and Edmonton. I am very, very excited for this. I have wanted this really since it became clear that these two teams could do it. I thought there was a feeling early on. Both these teams maybe could drop out. Obviously, with Florida dealing with injuries, Edmonton, kind of really no one knew what their depth could be or really their goaltending could be until the playoffs. But they're both back here. Game one tomorrow at 8 p.m. in Edmonton. We won't be here again till Friday, so we won't be able to talk about that tomorrow. My thoughts on this, give me, because the games will be Wednesday and Friday, give me a 1-1 start to this series going into the weekend, and I am thrilled.
I'm going to slightly disagree.
Mm-hmm.
Only ever so slightly. Why? Because I just want Edmonton to win.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's the feeling.
So you're like, take both games at home.
Take both games at home and let's go.
Mm-hmm.
For the drama's sake, yeah, it'd be nice to have it that way. But also, Florida is far more dominant at home than on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So if we go chalk through the first four games, we still have a series.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's where I think it is. Edmonton was very balanced this year on the at home and on the road. They were both effectively good on either side of things. Florida was a little different.
Going to be very, very excited, though. Cannot wait. Again, 8 p.m. And all games of the Stanley Cup Final will be here on WGR with coverage starting at 7:30. But with that, it's going to do it for me and Derek. Coming up next, more Hockey Talk with Sabres Live. You're listening to WGR.
As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.